The views and opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of Union Broadcasting, Inc., Hot Talk 1510 KCTE, or its employees. The host is solely responsible for the on-air content.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past.
It's a place where I met my wife and my three children were born. And to this day, I'm so proud to call KC home.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's present.
Alex with a basket catch. They're going to send the runner. His throw, a great one. Alex Gordon with a tremendous Gold Glove play.
And a show that looks at Kansas City baseball's future.
With the fifth selection of the 2012 first-year player draft, the Kansas City Royals select Kyle Zimmer.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Welcome in, Kansas City, and welcome to the Kansas City Baseball Vault for the final time here on 1510 ESPN here in Kansas City. And this show has always been about bringing you the best of the past, the present, and the future of Kansas City baseball. And I think we're going to do a pretty good job of that today. First of all, I want to thank our guest last week, Diamond Jim Gentile. And Randy Hur, that was very nice, Jeff, of to have your dad out there. And
it was awesome.
And I think he really did a great job.
No, he did an awesome job. I enjoyed having him on.
Much better job than you, by the way. I'm not going to lie.
I know. I'm a little worried about him taking my spot.
I met Jeff's dad at one of the tweet-ups at Kelly's Westport Inn, and he is fantastic. And as soon as I got to talk to him, I was like, dude, we need to have you on the show sometime. So I'm really glad that came to fruition. And like you said, your mom probably was the most excited one in the bunch because she was so excited for you that night at Kelly's. I can only imagine when she had both of her boys.
And he's a man of class. Actually, I offered him your position on the podcast, and he declined.
That's what he does.
A lesser man would have probably just taken the bait. So
yes.
That, of course, is the voice of the wonderful and outstanding, the Batman-esque Jeff Hur. To my center, we have the less wonderful and semi-outstanding.
more Robin-esque.
Troy Olson.
I take a backseat to nobody, gentlemen.
And the bane of the group we have is Michael Engel of kingsofkaufman.com, the senior director.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Executive editor. That's coming back, by the way.
He is Kansas City's baseball reckoning, folks.
He is. He's got the,
I believe that's Jeff Francoeur.
Honestly, I think the mask was a bit much, but it works on you. It's nice.
You know, it calms me down is what it does.
And Jeff Logan, we'll be hearing from him. He is on assignment, and actually he's going to turn in that assignment here in just a
few minutes.
He's actually on an assignment right now. He is down at the Westport Flea Market, where you should be. If you're in your car, just turn around or just go down towards Westport, as often people's cars do at times when it's 5 o'clock. Go down to Westport Flea Market and attend tonight's Kansas City Baseball Historical Society monthly meeting, of which the featured guest will be Joe Randa, and also George Toma will be there accepting an award. He is going into the Kansas City Royals Hall of Fame next Friday, so that's pretty nifty as well. We've got a good show for you tonight. I don't know. It's an okay show. It's for just our last show. We've got Joe Randa. We are going to talk to him in the last segment or so. Some guy named Don Larson that showed up in my email today. He was a pitcher, Wikipedia says.
Some sort of pitcher, I believe, yes.
Pretty good one, as a matter of fact. So we're going to talk with him about 6:15. And we are uber excited about that. Perfect game, obviously, in 1956. Former Kansas City A for a brief time was traded to the Yankees for some guy named Roger Maris, who we talked at length about last week, if you were catching that. And you can catch all of our back episodes at kingsofkaufman.com/podcast, or just go to kingsofkaufman.com. There's all kinds of good articles up there. Michael Engel slaves away. He writes 15 articles a day. In fact, he just posted 4 while I was talking just now. So
yeah.
It's a great website, one of the best Royals websites out there. And, you know, we're really fond of it. We are going to turn to Michael Engel first. And, Mr. Engel, can you take us around the horn in the week of baseball in Kansas City, starting with our Kansas City T-Bones?
The T-Bones, we've been following them the entirety of this show. They've been chasing Wichita for the entire run. The season ends September 3rd. And unfortunately,
the last homestands this weekend.
Yep. Unfortunately, the T-Bones, they're 2-8 in their last 10 games.
Ooh.
It's dropped them a little bit. They're 6 games behind Wichita in their division. still not out of it, but it's that door is closing pretty quickly. On the other hand, the Storm Chasers, they've clinched their division. They were running away with it from day one.
A lot of good news in the Royals organization.
Last year's Pacific Coast League champions. The only downside, Christian Colon is out for the year. He was promoted. He played in five games for Omaha, even homered. I think he got four hits.
Yeah.
You know, then he fouled the ball off. It came up, hit him under the eye. There's, I think, a fracture. So he is done for the year. Jake Odorizzi, though, in his last three starts, he's thrown 21 innings. Struck out, 21 innings, three earned runs, including a game where he almost had a no-hitter and went about 6.2 innings before giving up a hit.
You know what's so great about that team, about our team, about the Royals, is that the Royals are so good that we didn't need to promote any of those guys this year.
No, I don't think they're ready.
You know, I'm so glad that we got time just to let them simmer down there in AAA. And I realize it's
sarcasm.
Too. I know that it's. There's no point in bringing them up now. But at the All-Star break, might have been a good time to bring up one of those guys.
Yep. Moving along, the Naturals will welcome Yordano Ventura back to the rotation. He made a rehab start in Arizona. He had a little bit of a wrist problem. He's going to start tomorrow. In Wilmington, a name that we haven't really talked about much this year, Robinson Yambati, who had a pretty rough 2010. Really, really got hit hard pretty much at every stop. But he's doing well now.
I think at one point his ERA was over 100 or something ridiculous
it was
like that.
Really
last year.
Bad. But he's in 19.2 innings at Wilmington. He's got a 25-8 strikeout to walk ratio. So that's looking good. Kyle Smith in his last start for Kane County struck out 9 and 5.1 innings. And Brooks Pounders, his last start, he went 7 innings. Struck out 7, only walked 1, only gave up 3 hits. To take a look at Bubba Starling, he's currently hitting .283. His slugging percentage is .508. He's hit 10 homers, and he was named to the Appalachian League All-Star team earlier today or last night. First-round draft pick from 2012, Kyle Zimmer, fifth overall. He's got 29.2 innings pitched, 29 strikeouts, 8 walks at Kane County. And John Lamb has made some rehab starts. He's down in Arizona pitching in Surprise. He's made 3 starts, 2.2 innings pitched. He's given up 4 runs, struck out 3, 2 walks, given up 6 hits. He's really just working on getting his pitch count up at that point as he recovers from Tommy John surgery.
I want to back up a couple players here on this list.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Kyle Smith. I know we don't have a ton of time in this segment, but he's a guy who I believe he was a fourth-round pick in 2011. Is that right?
That sounds right.
He was somewhere in that range if he wasn't.
Yeah, he was an early pick.
I mean,
out of high school.
Yeah, and I believe, if I remember correctly, he was the one that I think he threw a perfect game in high school, and they were comparing him to some far-off comparisons were saying Roy Oswalt type of a guy. Give us a little bit more background if you can. I don't know how much you know about him, but talk about him a little bit, because I think he might be a guy that kind of sneaking under the radar right now, but could actually factor into some things in the future here.
Yeah, he's a 6'170" right-hander, so he's not a big guy, but he is a guy who does get a lot of results out of his stuff. For his career in the minors, he just started this year. He was doing extended spring training and instructional leagues last year. Started in 2012 at Idaho Falls, and over 56 innings, he struck out 12.5 batters per 9 innings, only walked 2.6. So he's working on about a 5-to-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio, which is just absolutely dominant. So he's definitely a fast riser. He's somebody who maybe he tops out at a borderline number 2 guy, maybe a number 3 guy eventually. But they really feel he's going to be a starter as he moves up. And you know, the numbers so far, it looks really good. He's probably going to get a look at Wilmington next year. The guy is only 19 years old. He doesn't turn 20 until September 10th. So he's also very young. So he's kind of got a lot of upside, a lot of room to grow still. So really exciting prospect in the system.
Yeah, I've been kind of following him decently closely. And yeah, I completely agree. I'm pretty excited about him, and no one really seems to be talking about him, which, I mean, granted, he's only played 11 professional games as he started, and it doesn't have a whole huge sample size out there, but I mean, what we've seen so far looks good. And he was supposed to be good. I believe he turned down a scholarship to Florida. I mean, they have a really good program there.
Yeah.
So
he's 1 year out of high school and he's already pitching at the A-ball level and he's excelling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not very often that guys that age jump in there in that advanced level and perform the way he has. He's just doing a great job with what he's got. Another guy we haven't talked about a lot, but Sam Selman is a guy out of Vanderbilt. The Royals drafted him in the second round this year. He's just completely destroying the Pioneer League. He's pitching for Idaho Falls, 52.1 innings. He's struck out 80 batters. Just ridiculous. That's almost 14 batters per 9 innings, 2.06 ERA. He's definitely ready. If it was earlier in the year, he would probably be at Kane County already getting a look. He is 21 years old.
Well, one of the things I've noticed, too, about those college-type guys is they're not afraid in a situation like this. He's at Idaho Falls now.
Mm-hmm.
So since he's a college guy, he's got a little bit more experience. They're not necessarily as stringent with going from level to level. So he could start out next year in Wilmington.
Yep.
And, you know, it very well could be that he and Kyle Zimmer maybe both start out at Wilmington next year. And, I mean, they could be moving through at roughly the same pace. You know, I don't know if Selman's quite has got as good a stuff, if you will, as Zimmer does. But, you know, being as they're both college pitchers and got mm-hmm. a little bit more polish on them, you know, they could be fast movers. And again, another guy that not a ton of people are talking about, but is exciting, you know, as a little bit.
Selman's a lefty as well.
Well, in order to awkwardly segue off of Royals minor league pitchers and talk about one of the greatest pitchers of all time, we are excited to bring to the program from his perfect game in the 56 World Series, Don Larsen, we bring to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. Mr. Larsen, good afternoon, sir.
How are you doing?
It's a real privilege to talk to you, man. I tell you what, we were so excited to hear that you were free this afternoon and could talk to us for a few minutes. Of course, we're based in Kansas City, and you played for a brief time with the A's. What do you remember about your time here in Kansas City?
Well, we get, you know, a big trade. Well, it was a big trade. It was about seven players trade, you know, at the end of the 59 season, you know.
And
Maris and Joe DeMaestri and Kenton Hadley. And then the Yankees gave up Hank Bauer, myself, Thromberry, and Seaburn. I wasn't too enthused about it. I was still in the big leagues. You know, we figured we'd try to help the ball clubs.
Yeah, and we actually had Diamond Jim Gentile on our program last week, and you know, he was with the A's around 61 also. You were, of course, with the A's after your famed seasons with the Yankees.
Yeah.
That seemed to be quite a group you guys had in 61 there in Kansas City on the A's.
Oh, it was fun. As long as you're playing the big leagues and working hard and having fun, it's a good thing.
There's nothing wrong with that, I'll tell you what. And your memories of working for Charlie Finley. We've been doing the show for about 4 months. We've talked to just about as many A's as we could. Some of them say they enjoyed working for him. Some of them say they didn't care for him. A couple of them used some words we couldn't use on the radio. what were your memories of Charlie O?
Oh, I liked him. You know, he's sort of self-made, you know, with the insurance business and be able to get enough money to buy the club. And then he had a place over near where I was born in Indiana, his farm over there. And then, of course, he went to Oakland. I wasn't part of that, but I thought Charlie did a great job for baseball. He did a few things maybe goofy like Bill Vick did, but I think the fans enjoyed that part.
We're talking with two-time World Series champion Don Larsen here on the Kansas City Baseball Vault. One of the stories I heard about you today is that you're auctioning off your 56 perfect game jersey, and those funds are going towards your grandkids' college education. What are they estimating that jersey is going to go for?
I have no idea. I don't know anything about that. All I know, it's in good hands.
Yeah, it's in good hands. Well, that's great.
It starts October 8th.
October 8th.
Bidding and stuff, and then it runs for 56 days, I guess. And then we'll see what happens. It should be good end results. I'm hoping so anyway.
Now, you mentioned that you were part of a seven-player trade that brought you to Kansas City. That wasn't the largest trade you were part of. In 54, you were part of a 17-player trade. And that you don't see those anymore, except maybe, you know, you don't even see them in football or basketball. I mean, 15 players.
They got no trade contracts and everything else, so I don't think it makes any damn difference anyway. They could trade the whole damn ball club. That's what they ought to do.
We feel that way here a lot of years, times, I'll tell you that.
We can give you a whole list of Royals that anybody can have just for asking.
Right. I know they're struggling, but, you know, they'll come around. I know. I like playing Kansas City. I enjoyed it there. My wife's a hostess there, airline hostess, and she has a lot of friends there, and I like to play for the ball club, and, you know, it was really enjoyable.
Well, Don, I've heard other interviews that you've done over the years, and when it seems like every time somebody throws a perfect game in the playoffs or not, they got to put a call out to Don Larson to get your opinion on it. And we, of course, have had three already thrown this year. Philip Humber, a former Royal, now with the White Sox. What's that?
Five no-hitters already.
Yeah, something like that. It's been a crazy year for pitchers. First off,
did it for Seattle here, what, a week or so ago?
Yeah, Felix Hernandez throwing the perfect
one in their franchise history.
Right. First off, first question is, what do you think of all of a sudden pitching coming back into baseball in a big way, and it seems like pitching is better than the hitting in baseball. What's your opinion on that?
I don't know for sure because I haven't been active in a long time. Either the pitchers are getting smarter and the hitters are getting dumber. That's my only answer.
And do you get pretty excited when you see pitchers throw perfect games and no hitters? I mean, when you see one on TV or something, what kind of goes through your mind? Because obviously none of them have been as big as yours.
I can't watch a lot of those things, you know. We're sort of limited where I'm at, unless it's maybe a game of the day or week. And I don't watch, I can't sit and watch the whole game anymore. I just looking for certain things, and I get sort of bored, you might say. You know, maybe a no-hitter is coming, it's sort of boring to a lot of the fans and stuff. You know, they want to see the home runs and all that kind of stuff, you know. I'm not that way. I think it's a great effort the guys get a chance and do something like that. That's a hell of an effort.
And Don, one of the pitchers who had a no-hitter earlier this season was Johan Santana. It was the first one in Mets history, and I think it was 134 pitches or something to that effect that he had, and he kind of struggled a little bit after that, and people brought up, you know, his pitch count and innings and everything and how that kind of threw things out of whack. But it seems pitchers back in your day, you know, routinely were going out, doing complete games, throwing sometimes 300 innings in a season. And people, you know, there have been talk about maybe, you know, long toss or anything like that as possibly different reasons why, you know, people don't go as long as they used to. What's your take on that? Is there something special you did that allowed you and other pitchers maybe that to go a little bit longer than they do now, or is the game just changed a certain?
Not really. Some guys are stronger than others. You know, they can go a little longer. And I think the important factor during the game is the catcher. He knows what kind of stuff a pitcher has at all times. So usually the manager goes and consults with him, which they should do, because, you know, he's catching every pitch. I think he's the best judge of whether they should let the pitcher go an inning or so more, or, you know, take him out. Because today it's a lot different. They got, you know, relievers in the middle, at the end, and the final. So they got talent in the bullpen for sure. All clubs do. So I think the managers are doing the right thing by replacing, you know, the pitcher if they're in doubt today. It seems to work out all right anyway. Not all the time, but it seems pretty good.
For the most part, yeah. But along those same lines, as you were just saying about the catcher, did you have a particular favorite catcher that you always felt really kind of had a good grasp over how you were doing and was maybe calling the game the way that you liked it?
When I played with a lot of good catchers. You know, Yogi is probably the best. Of course, you know, he stayed so long with the Yankees, and he knew they've gotten so many World Series and stuff, and he knew the damn hitters all the time, you know, very good, you know. And why question his authority? You let him call the game. And I think that was the correct way to do it, because a catcher sort of runs the whole damn club, because he, everything he sees is facing, you know, out in everything. He knows what's going on.
What a lot of people don't always pick up, you know, 1956, everybody knows the story of the perfect game. They don't always know that in game two you made the start and, you know, you got pulled early. What did you and Yogi Berra talk about, and what kind of adjustments did you make the second time out? And before you
talked
to
him a bit.
Really?
No. I didn't talk to anybody, and they wouldn't talk to me because they figured it was going to be a jinx. I didn't mind that because I don't believe in jinxes. You're going to do it or you're not going to. I know the second game, I had a 6-0 lead, and I got a little wild, and I watched a couple 3 in a row, and Casey didn't like that. I certainly didn't like it. You know, walking, if you got no chance of getting out, you walk somebody. But I'm glad he gave me a second chance, you know, the fifth game, and I was very happy, and the outcome was, you know, very nice.
Can't really fault a perfect game. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, that's not too bad. That's a good rebound. We're finishing up our conversation with a historical pitcher Don Larsen, of a long time with the Yankees. Played for a number of clubs, including the Kansas City Athletics in '60 and '61. You know, Mr. Larsen, what do you think about the state of pitching today? You know, we kind of talked about the rash of no hitters and perfect games, but you know, again, starting pitchers are only going into games, you know, 5 and 6 innings. You know, heck, we can't get a Royals pitcher to go past the fifth sometimes.
I don't know. I think if you work hard enough, most of the guys work hard enough, you know, and long enough. And I always believe that one time you're going to have a good day, maybe more than one. You can't give up. You got to do what you do best and work at it and hope for the best, and you got to have a good club behind you to give you some support. So it's pretty hard to say being so inactive for so long, but the guys give it a good shot, and I'm glad they do.
Hey, Don, you know, they make a big deal out of pitchers pitching on 5 days rest. Everybody's got to have 5 days rest. And when it gets to the playoffs, the 3 or 4 day rest is just, you know, it's something, the pitcher's going to underperform because he doesn't have full rest. When you were a player, did you always get a 5 day rest, or what was your typical work schedule like?
Well, it depends on how good you were doing. You know, if you pitch a complete game, you'd probably get a good 3 days rest. And usually the second day you'd work out, or you could be in the bullpen also. You know, for anything, try to help the ball club. I don't know. I talked to Bob Feller about it a little bit. I became pretty close later on. Hell, he could have pitched 6 innings every game and winning 30 every year. You know, get a lead and let the bullpen take care of it. And he could pitch 9 innings all the time. And he's pretty strong. It takes a good effort and a team effort also to be able to do that.
Well, I'll tell you what, we can't thank you enough for being generous with your time today, Don, and Jeff Logan, who works with the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society. I know if he were here, he'd certainly remind you to that you have a standing invite to the reunion every year, the A's reunion, and we just can't thank you enough for spending a few minutes with us talking about the good old days.
I haven't made that trip yet, but who knows? I hope I keep getting invited, but it's nice talking to you guys.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
You bet. That's Don Larsen on the Kansas City Baseball Vault. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
Brand new Royal Stadium in Kansas City's Harry S. Truman Sports Complex is the attractive setting for this year's game. Hosting this all-star occasion are Mr. and Mrs. Ewing Kauffman. And with a stadium record crowd of almost 41,000 streaming in, everything certainly is up to date in Kansas City.
The Vault.
It's hard to find quality work at reasonable prices for all your home repair needs. With Kermsey Construction, we can give you 100% satisfaction guaranteed. We are licensed and insured. With 30 years of experience, we give free estimates and are log home certified. Call Kermsey Construction at 816-419-4232. Serving Jackson County and all surrounding areas. 816-419-4232. If it has to do with your home, we can fix it.
T-Bone's Baseball, celebrating 10 years of fun well done. Bring the whole family out for sizzling action this summer at Community America Ballpark, where parking is always free and tickets start at just $6.50. Kids eat free Monday. Great giveaways and 20-ounce beers on Tuesday. Dollar hot dogs and post-game catch on the field Wednesday. Dollar beer Thursday. Falcon skydivers on Friday. Post-game fireworks on Saturday. Pre-game player autographs and post-game kids run the bases on Sunday. Follow the T-Bones on Facebook for up-to-the-minute promotions and game day events. Group tickets, party decks, and nightly suites available. Get your tickets at the box office. Any Community America branch. Call 913-328-5618 or purchase and print your tickets at tbonesbaseball.com.
Catch the T-Bones tonight through Sunday for their final regular season homestand. Tonight it's college rivalry theme night. Tomorrow night, don't miss the huge post-game fireworks. Sunday is Fan Appreciation Day with $4 GA tickets and incredible concession deals. First pitch is at 1:05. T-Bones Baseball, that's fun well done.
I will remember you.
Oh, Shane.
I think Shane's shedding a little tear back there.
He's a little dusty.
He looks a little upset. You know?
He gets to go home on time on Thursdays now.
Oh, my wife thanks you.
I know. He's a big fan. Thank you, and thank you to who sings that song?
Sarah McLachlan.
Thank you, Sarah McLachlan.
Don't you just see like tons of
little like dogs
and
little
cats
dogs
crying.
With stuff in their eyes? Yeah. Stuff,
actually, so. This reminds me of my 8th grade graduation because this is what we sang there.
Really? We needed
that.
Can you believe that? We needed that last Sunday during my monologue about changing names from the Royal Manor Report to the KC Baseball Vault and moving to Saturdays.
We didn't really need that.
My high school graduation song was "Good Riddance" by Green Day.
How did
so
we go?
Ours.
There it is.
How did we go
there
from
it is.
The one of the greatest Yankee pitchers of all time through a perfect game and a World Series game to malnourished dogs and
in Green Day? I don't
Green
know.
Green Day songs.
This is what we do.
Welcome to the Kansas City Baseball Vault, folks.
If you're gonna do it, you're gonna do it.
This is why people don't listen to us, because we don't talk about baseball for
That's
a whole
right.
hour.
Exactly right. You're exactly right.
Off
let's
the
talk
rails.
About
back
Brooks,
to baseball.
Let's talk about Brooks Pounders for a little while.
What if we traded Brooks Pounders for Doug Fister? What would happen?
So
let's talk some Royals.
We got kind of a short segment here, but a couple of things out of that Don Larsen interview struck me. He talked about the importance of catching. Between all the curse words, he talked about the importance of catchers and how, you know, why question Yogi Berra's authority? He's been the Yankees catcher for forever and forever and forever. I immediately thought of Sal Perez and how he's been an amazing stabilizing force in the Royals rotation. I don't know if he's helped Luke Hochever turn the 19th corner in his career, but it certainly seemed to work.
He's actually gone around
week.
A circle at this point.
Right.
I was going to say
degrees, six of them.
So many corners he's turned, I think he's ended up back in Omaha.
Ba-ding-tsh. Oh, yeah.
Troy Olson, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I think Sal does a great job. I mean, he's been celebrated for what he's been able to do as a catcher at every level. And there were questions, maybe he's not going to be able to be the guy. And then there was a certain point about 2 years ago where this is about the time that Will Myers was starting to, the question came up, can he stay behind the plate? And the Royals finally decided that he can move to the outfield because they felt that Perez was going to be able to be the catcher long-term in the organization. And, then last year, he plays 3 games in Omaha, and the Royals end up calling him up, in the beginning of August, and he's just stuck around. I think he put the Royals' schedule, I think he advanced his own schedule by the way he played, and, I think that's a testament to just his talent and as a leader, as a catcher, and his maturity, and all of that.
And I'll tell you what, I'm beginning to think his prowess, if you will, at the plate might actually be for real. I mean, it was not that he was predicted to not be a good hitter.
I pushed the button. It must not work.
That's a cough button, is what we call that.
I pushed it. It didn't work.
Right. I can verify this. So, I did push it. Anyway.
Moving along.
Anyway,
continue your thought.
It was going to be that kind of 265, 270 guy, maybe with a little bit of pop. But, he comes up last year and hits .331 and slugs over 800, OPS is over 800. And now he's sitting, and granted, he played 39 games last year, but through 45 games this year, he's not quite as good, but He's hovering right around 300, has been all season. He's still OPSing over 800. Mm-hmm. He's hit 8 home runs. I mean, he doesn't walk a lot, but he doesn't strike out a lot either. He's one of those free swinger types, makes a lot of contact. And what is encouraging to me now, if I may geek out for just a second
here, for it.
Is his BABIP right now. Is
clean
that
up when you're
you
done.
You knew I was bringing up BABIP as soon as I said I was going to geek out here. And we haven't even talked about David Price pitching on Tuesday.
What's his
but
war?
Anyway, right. 281 is his BABIP, which, you know, historically hitters are right around 300 or so,
yeah,
is what you normally would expect. So it's just a tad low, not anything, mm-hmm. not like Eric Hosmer low, but just a tad low. And he's still batting up around 300, which is definitely a good sign, is the point I'm trying to make here. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, you know, I think maybe he's not that 330 guy that he's shown flashes of both last year and this year, but I think he's slightly above maybe even what he was originally projected at in that 260, 270 range. He might be more of a 280, 290 guy with even a little bit more pop than people were saying.
I don't know a lot about statistics, but in 1956, Don Larson's WAR was 2.5. Is that pretty good?
That's all right.
Good for starter, yeah.
For a pitcher, yeah, okay. It's pretty good.
That's an everyday kind of guy.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, regular rotation. Sorry.
You know, if you're Justin Verlander, you're gonna have like that 6-8 range in your WAR, which is.
I'll take Don Larson over Verlander every day of the week.
I don't know if I would do that, sir, but you go ahead.
That's romanticizing the game.
I'll tell you what, you take Don Larson, I'll take Justin Verlander. We'll play those teams and we'll see what happens.
Might have to throw that into out of the park baseball and see how that comes out.
There you go. If we're gonna nerd out any further,
pretty
nerds,
sure
that
Verlander's
we need
be
to stop.
Fine.
We need to stop.
I think we need to go to break.
No, we don't need to go to break.
This was a short segment. Is this not the short segment?
This is fine.
Can I talk nerdy to you guys further? I mean, but here's a question I have for you, Michael.
Yeah.
So he's talking about...
Shane's WAR is like 500, by the way.
Shane's got a very high WAR in terms of the Kansas City Baseball Vault, the Sabermetrics. There's actually a site dedicated to Kansas City Baseball Vault, Sabermetrics. Would you believe it?
Is there?
I wouldn't either.
Would believe it.
That's why there is no site.
I wouldn't think.
It's only in my head, and now I'm sad. But
oh, God.
Anyway.
Wow.
So, Don...
you had a question.
Yes. Don Larson says the catcher is the guy. He's out there calling the game. The manager needs to look to the catcher. The pitcher needs to... Who is the pitcher to call off the catcher?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, everyone says when Sal came up and they were saying, oh, it's going to be such a big difference because Sal Perez calls such a great game. He calls such a game. But then you look up there and you see people like Luke Hochaver and even Bruce Chinn and different pitchers, and they'll just shake them off all day long. You know, whoever the catcher is, it doesn't even have to be mm-hmm. Sal Perez, you know, whoever it is. So ultimately the pitcher has the decision. So what is this business about a catcher calling a game? How much effect does that actually have, and how much do they actually
catchers don't
call
games anymore? I mean, Perez looks over to the dugout every pitch. You know, somebody, I guess Ned's calling it or somebody's calling that game.
Dave Island, what I would call
Island,
it.
Island, yeah, probably.
Yeah, they probably get together and they go over, you know, what their game plan is for each hitter. They know their tendencies. I mean, everything's mapped out at that level. And then, you know, they go for it. You know, I don't know, but I like the point that Don Larson made where the catcher is the guy behind the plate. He sees the whole field. You know, he sees every pitch. Every at bat,
I believe
all
it was
that.
Every damn pitch. If you know,
right, if I want to be accurate,
if we're going to quote, you know,
we're
going
to quote
right.
somebody. Let's
air
do it properly.
My mistake. So, and then you look at things like how many managers in Major League Baseball are former catchers, and it's a significant amount. It's more so than so many others.
Look no further than Tony Pena.
Well, yeah, exactly, Tony Pena.
Well, was
perfect
it?
Example.
Was Mike Matheny, was he a catcher?
Mike Matheny was a catcher. Yeah. Mike Socha was a catcher. Ned Yost was a catcher.
Joe Torre, he wasn't a catcher, was he?
Joe Torre was not a catcher.
Joe Girardi was.
Tony
Joe
Girardi. La
Russa. Joe Girardi was the catcher.
Tony La Russa was a catcher.
Hey, before we do go out to this break, I was remiss in telling you about Jay Catering. My goodness, how could I do that? Jay Catering, they specialize in all of your corporate and business needs. And quite frankly, delivered today. Got us Don Larson on the phone. So call Jeff at 913-961-0929. They are a proud sponsor of the Kansas City Baseball Vault, and we hope to talk to him here in a little bit. He's down at the Westport Flea Market, and we'll see what kind of trouble he's gotten himself into. But go ahead and give Jeff a call at Jay Catering, 913-961-0929. When we come back from the break, we are going to reminisce a little bit about our time here at Union Broadcasting in 1510 and the 4 months that we spent with Shane and and you know, singing the love songs to us. So we'll be right back on the Kansas City Baseball Vault on ESPN 1510.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
We saw two or three different replays. It was a bang-bang play at first, yet the replays show rather conclusively that the Royals got a tremendous, gigantic break.
The Vault.
Medical bills can really burn a hole in your pocket. I'm Ray Van Emmen, and I'm here for all of your senior healthcare needs. I'm a senior healthcare specialist, LLC, for Medicare, long-term care, life insurance, and annuities. Call Ray at 913-449-6508. Being a senior healthcare specialist, I'm a licensed insurance company in Kansas and Missouri with professional certifications. I can help you get through your retirement years. Call 913-449-6508 today. I work for you.
The Brad Westmar Show with your host, Brad Westmar.
We had a great time with your wife, Matt, and we were glad to have Stacy on.
No, it wasn't what I meant.
And co-host Jared Afkar plus Magic Matt.
I was trying to put together a little trip for us this summer, and I was asking her about going to a concert, and she's like, you know, I think I'd just rather go to see a Royals game.
Wow. That's
sick. That's mentally off the reservation.
All right, Jared.
It's radio like you've never heard before.
Very sad.
That's what I hear.
Download the latest episode of the Brad Westmar Show at bradwestmar.com.
How do I say goodbye?
He kids, he jokes, he teases, and yet look at him.
That was all Jed.
How long have you been thinking about these all week, this song list?
That's Jed, I think Jed's more Jed, torn Jed up than anybody. Jed, you know, got really used to watching us in the hang out in the break room.
He is a KU fan, so he did like to pretend you were Charlie Weiss sitting over here.
I know, right?
And Jed is an awesome Royals fan, too, so he may actually have appreciated this show. So
God bless you. And God bless the Backstreet. Not the Backstreet, but Boys to Men.
Boys to Men.
Sorry,
thank
no,
you.
No. Hey, hey. Wow.
Thank you.
Easy, easy. Boys to Men. Not the Backstreet Boys.
Jeez.
Anyway, welcome back, to the, welcome back to Kansas City Baseball Vault for the final time here on ESPN 1510 AM. We are going to move this entire operation. Shane, Jed, they're all coming over with us. We're going to do the podcast. Kansas City Baseball Vault is now moving and merging with the Royal Man Report. We're going to move to Saturdays on kingsofkaufman.com/podcast. You can also go to kcbaseballvault.com soon.
And royalmanreport.com
and
will Royal still Man point
Report.
There for a while.
It's going to be pretty cool.
I have one word. Synergy.
Synergy,
that's
like
what
it.
We have here.
Synergy and flow.
And that's at noon on Saturdays, and we hope to, we'll have the chat room running for that just like we did in the Royal Man Report. And you're going to get a lot of the pieces you got from this show, plus a little bit of what you had with the Royal Man Report. So I think it's going
to
be a great show.
Maybe more Boys to Men, maybe more...
A lot more Boys to Men. Nice. Maybe some Hootie and the Blowfish.
The production value probably won't be as high, right, Chris? As if we had Shane.
Isn't going to scratch what these guys
We've already established that Shane is a 500 WAR producer.
I'm like negative six.
You can't just replace that. That's like, you know, who's going to be the next George Brett?
It's a really good point.
Those are big shoes.
Thank you, Michael Engel. You've crystallized my thoughts eloquently.
Exactly.
Well, then.
That's what I do.
Fellas, hey, we've been doing this 4 months. We've been doing this. This is now our 16th show. Thought we'd maybe go around the room before Jeff Logan calls us in whatever state that he is in at the Westport Flea Market. and kind of talk about what's been the highlight of the show for you guys. You know, we've got to talk to a lot of people. We've got to, you know, be in a radio studio for some ungodly, clearly a mistake. We just talked to Don Larson. That was pretty cool. So
no big deal.
Engel, why don't we start with you? What do you think?
You know, I really thought it was cool, to talk with Greg Pryor about the 85 World Series and things like that. You know, he passed the 1985 World Series ring around the studio. That was awesome. I mean, You look at that huge event in Royals history, and we're all Royals fans, and to actually get to, you know, see a member of that team and hear a little bit about that team and see actual physical evidence that this happened. You know,
and that wasn't just
not just a mirage. It happened.
And that ring wasn't just, you know, something he put in the trophy case. That guy wore that ring every day.
Oh, yeah.
You could tell it was
just absolute pride.
All the edges
and the
were rounded on, and he was extremely proud of that. That's awesome.
Yeah, and that same episode we talked with Brian Peña. That was, you know, it was great
that
to
was
talk
great
with
interview.
Him too. I mean, he was one of the more entertaining guests that we've spoken with in any of this business. So you know, I think that was probably my favorite episode, and it's just been, you know, it's been a blast to get a little bit of the old and a little bit of the present, a little bit of the new.
I think for me, it's getting to know people like George Toma that you didn't realize how awesome they were until you had a chance to talk to him. And really, it was just awesome to be able to do the show. And, you know, who would have ever thought that throwing a dart and having Jeff Logan on our show months ago would have led to having a radio show with Jeff and getting to know George Toma, getting to go out to the Royals game and sit in a suite with a bunch of old Royals and A's players. And there was all sorts of really cool people there. We got to hold George Toma's Athletics World Series ring there. And then, of course, interviewing Don Larson and all the great interviews we've had. It's been a really good run. We've had some ups and downs, but it's been really fun. And, of course, just being able to work with you guys in a studio and actually feel like that the podcast has produced something has been pretty cool all the way around.
You know, it's interesting. I think the success from this show has allowed Union Broadcasting to upgrade the televisions.
Their TVs look great here nice. Now.
Yep.
Except for Shane. Shane, did you get your TV working at all back there?
No.
It looks like it worked in 1989.
Poor Shane.
He's not the best color man in the business.
That's
for
right.
Nothing, folks.
It's got there a Betamax attached to it.
You know, I think for me, my favorite memory was talking to Nolan Ryan. I mean, when we had the Reggie Jackson.
No.
You know what? Actually,
Frank
though,
White. No. We didn't get him either.
You know jokes, what? Folks. In all seriousness, though, mine is easy. My favorite memory was having my dad on the show last week. You know, that was
absolutely
awesome. My dad has more Royals knowledge than anyone that I know or have met, and is just awesome. And to have him on the show, it was great for me. I'm glad you brought that up, Chris, to have that idea, because that was a lot of fun. I know he loved it. I know my mom loved it, and it was a great time. And he was a great guest.
Jed, what was your favorite moment of the Kansas City Baseball Vault?
Probably being on air for the first time right now.
Jed's favorite moment.
There it is.
Jed's favorite
there
moment is in about 20
right
minutes when the
inside,
show right
iconic.
You're inside the favorite moment
when the show closes. Shane, favorite moment.
When you wait until they get away from the mic.
When you're
I
not
like
busy
it.
Writing silly notes, you
moments
silly
like
boy.
Being able to pick on me about opening pop and coughing
yeah,
on
much.
The air.
Yeah
actually, like Jed said, being a part of a sports show is fun. Usually I have to cover the financial shows in the morning, and I...
Oh,
that last
part
didn't come through.
He bleeped himself. Oh,
that was the cough button right there is what that was.
His works.
Works. Yes. Well done. Yeah, the cough button works. I got a couple of closing notes here at the end of this thing, but my favorite, I don't know why this, everybody makes fun of me for this. I liked talking to the mayor. I mean,
was really cool.
How else, why would some idiot like me be on the phone with the mayor for crying out loud? So I just thought that was cool.
And not be getting arrested for it.
That whole show was cool because we had all these people and we made Shane work for his money and. You know, it's just we had calls and this call and the guy in studio, and it was just all-star week, and it was awesome.
I actually changed my mind. My favorite moment was when I got to do the three-way call.
Yeah, the three-way call and the live read with when the first time that Jeff hosted. That was a pretty awesome episode. For those
he redeemed himself because he was anything. So much better the second time around. But no, that might be my favorite moment too. That was pretty awesome. But
yes, yours and mine.
That was such a trade.
Shane and I can share that favorite moment. But no, I mean, I feel like we've talked about it ad nauseum, but the idea that a year ago, what were we, you know, and now here
what
we are.
What are we still?
Well, true, but well, we're still nothing, but we're nothing to have the mayor on our radio show, so
that's
how about
good point.
That?
I'll tell you this, you know, we joke about how little we've achieved or whatever, but being real for a second, you know, there are people out there that do appreciate what we do, and heck, even the Pine Tar Press guy said on their podcast that we're trailblazing the way now that we were – you know, the ones that picked up the Royals podcasting and kept going with it, and that they are kind of looking to us for how they're going to do their show. I think they can do far better than we've done. But
you know, I think if this all means something is maybe we've laid the groundwork for when this team does get to be not terrible. You know, this is going to be a really fun deal. There's going to be all kinds of people talking Royals and there's going to be all kinds of folks. And for those of you tuning in, you know, it's been a cool ride to spend that time with you. So before we take our last break, let's go ahead and tell you about Senior Healthcare Specialists. They are a tremendous sponsor. They've sponsored us the entire run of this deal, and there's for your senior healthcare needs as well as getting through those retirement years. Give Ray a call, Ray Van Emmon, 913-449-6508. They specialize in Medicare, long-term care, life insurance, and annuities. And you know what? They're Kansas and Missouri licensed insurance professionals. Great sponsors of the Vault, and we are great fans of theirs. Senior Healthcare Specialist, call Ray at 913-449-6508. We're going to wrap the show up here right after this last break. It's Kansas City Baseball Vault on ESPN 1510.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
Among the laborers at Royal Stadium is a sheet metal worker who dreams of playing here. This unlikely dream was given wing when Frank White passed a tryout for Ewing Kauffman's new baseball academy.
The Vault.
Hey Siri, what's good to listen to tonight?
I have several books on tape. Perhaps one about your drinking problem?
No. What kind of podcasts do you have?
I have an excellent podcast for Royals fans. It's called The Royalman Report.
Oh yeah? What's it about?
It's about everything Royals and Kansas City sports. There's statistics, analysis, and lots of off-topic humor.
Can you tell me where to find it?
No, I'm only a cell phone.
Seriously?
No, I'm just joking. I'm quite the comedian. You can find The Royalman Report at royalmanreport.com or kingsofkauffman.com or catch the show live, Sundays at 7 p.m.
Thanks, Siri. You're really helpful. Catch The Royalman Report every Sunday night at 7, live on royalmanreport.com or anytime on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
So, a doctor, a lawyer, and Chris gets walk into a bar.
Medical bills can really burn a hole in your pocket. I'm Ray Van Emmon, and I'm here for all of your senior healthcare needs. I'm a senior healthcare specialist, LLC, for Medicare, long-term care, life insurance, and annuities. Call Ray at 913-449-6508. Being a senior healthcare specialist, I'm a licensed insurance company in Kansas and Missouri with professional certifications. I can help you get through your retirement years. Call 913-449-6508 today. I work for you.
So a doctor, a lawyer, and Chris Getz walk into a bar, and the bartender says, "We don't sell your kind here."
Hey-o.
And Chris Getz lays down a bunt.
Breaks his finger.
Dynamite.
Breaks his finger. There you go.
That's it. That's an existential joke for all of you out there.
Welcome back to the final segment of the ESPN version of the Kansas City Baseball Vault here on ESPN 1510. We may or may not get a call from Joe Randa. It doesn't matter. It's all right. You know, that's going to be our white whale. We're going to be, you know, 15, 20,000 years in the future, we're going to be, you know, still chasing the Joe Randa.
I thought I saw him once at a Hy-V. I swear.
He was there.
It was him.
It's Joe.
I could tell.
Randa.
I saw the telltale smile and grin of the Joker.
I lost my arm tracing after him when it got ran over by a shopping cart.
We think we've had 7 or 8 people in this 12-week run cancel on us at the last minute. Or,
well, it's all right, though.
Jeff would think he'd have somebody lined up. But I guess that happens, too.
Real radio guys
the folks over at 810, too.
Only 7? That's pretty cool.
'Tis the name of the game.
We got a few more minutes here. One thing that we could talk about a little bit was the nomoreglass.com ad ran today. I heard on the way in, Keatsman had the guy on the.
I want to go out and buy. I want to say that
on the phone. He's a very well spoken guy. I think we're chasing to have him on. We're going to have him on our podcast on Saturday. You know, that's a big deal, and that's a pretty ballsy thing for him to do. You know, $5,000 that he raised to get this ad in, as somebody just sent me a tweet of what the ad looks like. Obviously, it's a very well-spoken letter to David Glass. You know, as we kind of...
It's not hateful or spiteful.
No,
which
it's
I think
not
is
hateful
good
or
important.
Spiteful. It just
and
says
I think it's
you
what he
haven't
deserves,
done a very good job.
Yeah, honestly, you know, and Sam Mellinger brought up the point when he was on the podcast a long time ago now, but the idea that for the first 6 or so years of David Glass's tenure, he was an awful owner. But for the last 6 years, you know, if you remove David Glass and just plug somebody else in, he wouldn't be a terrible owner. You know, he'd be just an average one. And that's kind of what he's been. But ultimately, you know, really bad and average doesn't make you good. And we're not seeing the results. So, you know, thank you for what you've done, Mr. Glass. But you know, there's the door, if you get my meaning with that. That he's telling the team is what I want to do.
Oh, I got
the door
got
is a metaphor.
The door,
you know,
is a metaphor for
leaving. And it's had a really
Shane
mixed response on Twitter. Royals Authority,
really?
He thought it was all a joke. You know, when they were talking about it going into it this week, it was starting to pick up some momentum last week, and he's like, yeah, the whole thing's a joke. I don't know why the guy's wasting the time. And then, obviously, the ad says, you know, raised for by monies from 150 Royals fans. I mean, or paid for by.
It's interesting. Earlier in the year, Glass was interviewed, and he said, "Well, I've never heard of anybody wanting me to sell the team." Well, at least now he can't say that because it was in the Star.
It's because he sits in Arkansas and doesn't listen or read anything.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. I heard the guy Joe Curso, I believe is his name, and he was on Keesman's show, our mother station, if you will. 15, 10, 8, 10.
No.
But he was on Keatsman's show. I was listening on the way over here, and they were saying after Joe got off the phone, they were saying to him, "Well, do you think Dan Glass is going to bring this to David Glass's attention?" And they were like, "Well, number one, he should." And then they kind of talked about that. But I'm sitting there thinking in my head, like, what kind of an owner do we have where we have to ask if we think that an ad printed in the Kansas City Star or the home of his baseball team, is he actually going to see it? I mean, would you ever doubt for a second if somebody put an ad in the KC Star about Clark Hunt that he wouldn't see it?
Yes, you would.
Not for a second. No
way. I would absolutely doubt it.
No way. I would never doubt that. I think Clark Hunt would be all over that.
They're not those kind of owners.
Who? Clark Hunt is.
I don't know about that.
I've seen different things online where people have talked about handwritten letters they've gotten from Ewing Kaufman. That somebody would write a letter to the Royals, and he would respond. A personal letter written by his own hand. You know, that's, I think, what people want to see. And, of course, Kaufman was the perfect small market owner for that time period. Glass, at this point, there's only one person who can make David Glass sell the team, and that's whoever buys the team. And David Glass. I mean, he's got to want to.
Yeah, you've got to be able. You got to sell it if someone wants to buy it.
I mean, unless the entire stadium is empty for an entire season. I like the passion and the idea behind this ad. That's not going to do anything. It's not going to change anything.
I don't think it is going to do anything, but. But it stands as a mile marker in just as the walkout. Keatsman's one of his original things over here. There's stuff in the bulletin board up front about the walkout. That was a big deal. That was a milestone in the history of Kansas City baseball. I think this letter could stand to be that. If maybe this plants the seed, maybe it's still 5 years from now. Maybe it's not Cerner. Maybe it's somebody else that buys the team. Maybe he just officially hands it off to Dan, and Dan gets tired of people yelling at him all the time, and because I don't know, but I do think it stands as a milestone, and it's something for us to definitely remember and keep in the back of our mind.
Absolutely, because all those comments that he makes when they say, what do you feel about the fan unrest about this team or whatever, and he says, well, I don't hear any fans. I don't know where that's coming from. Can't say that anymore. When you're in an interview and you're David Glass, or you're Dan Glass, or you're whoever, you can't plead ignorance to the fact that we don't know what's going on, and we don't know that you have something to do with it as the owner. So it's going to be interesting to see the fallout, if you will, from this. How's that going to play out for them? Next time, David, I wouldn't be surprised if they just don't do interviews after this, for however long they still have the team.
They rarely do them anyway.
That was the first one he'd done in a long, long time.
But, he did a couple this year, actually, and probably most of it was because of the All-Star game. But, next time David Glass or Dan Glass is around and they get on an interview, how's that going to be handled? What about Dayton Moore? How much of this is going to fall on him? How's he going to handle that? There is some fallout to this that's going to reverberate to the Royals, because certainly people are going to be asked about it. You can't ask.
If we've learned nothing from this show, you can see what a miserable cuss Charlie Finley was, and how he almost ruined baseball for Kansas City forever. Because, he just didn't do it the right way. The more I learn about David Glass, the more I learn about Charlie Finley and Mr. Johnson, who owned the A's before Finley, you really learn how lucky we got with Ewing Kaufman. I mean, it's shocking at how just amazing this guy was. And, he screwed up the transfer of the ownership after his death. He screwed that up badly, and we're still feeling the effects of that. But for the years he owned it with pride. He owned it the right way. He got mad when he needed to get mad. He went down to the lot. You know, what was somebody telling us? One of the players said they never saw Joe Randa except – or there's never – not Joe Randa. They never saw Ewing Kaufman except when he was – when something was really wrong, maybe once or twice a season. Well, that's okay. That's the same thing that David Glass is doing, but he did it the right way. He did it an amazing way.
There's bad owners and good owners in all sports. I mean, when the Orioles were in town, their fans were still wanting to hang Angelos. And up until this year, everybody had said the Pirates had a crappy owner. And, I mean, you look at other sports, football, Tampa Bay and Jacksonville have crappy owners. And then you've got people like the Mavericks owner, Cuban, and Jerry Jones that are very involved with their teams. And, yes, Cuban would answer that. He would answer that letter. He would show up at Accurso's house and say, let's have a conversation about this. But those are different people, different kinds of people.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of what we talked about, similar to we've talked about Dayton Moore before, being a good guy and a bad general manager. You know, again, it's not mutually exclusive. You can be a bad owner and still have a winning team, in the sense of, you know, because a lot of times bad owner is thought of as more than just paying money. It's, you know, not living in Kansas City. It's not being conducive to the fans.
Yeah,
not writing
matter.
Those handwritten letters. And it doesn't matter to us, maybe, but to a lot of people in this city, it does matter.
It shouldn't matter to anybody. And if this team was winning, nobody would care that he lives in Arkansas. But because
that's
they
my
are
point,
suck,
though. That's my
that's
point.
That's when
though.
It's a problem. But if he's a good owner or a bad owner, is going to be if he's a good owner or a bad owner in all aspects. He would be a good owner if the team was winning and not living here. Therefore, he can't be a bad owner because he doesn't live here. Because even if the team was good and he didn't live here, nobody'd care. So those two things can't go hand in hand. He's a bad owner because we've got a bad team for 20-some years. He's a bad owner for that reason. You've got to figure out how to compete in what you're given, or you got to do something else.
Send your cards and letters to Troy Olson.
I'm finished. Chris, it's all you.
Hey, sorry, Joe Randa. We're going to have to bump you for time, man. I'm sorry. We were just not going to have time for you tonight. I do want to take a few minutes to thank everybody associated with this four-month run.
Where did that come from?
That's awesome.
All I could find.
I like it.
I was going to find some audio of him. So
I love
say.
It. That's perfect, man. Thank you to everybody associated with this four-month run here at 50. I haven't gotten any better at talking.
It's okay.
Obviously. First off, this show absolutely would not have been possible without the support, funding, and encouragement of the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society. They're a great organization, and if you are any sort of baseball fan in Kansas City, or you know, honestly a baseball owner from Kansas City, you should be a member of this group. Major thanks to Jeff Logan, president of the Historical Society, for everything. You know, we made fun of the guy, sometimes to his face, sometimes behind his face. But, you know, he delivered a big way. Every week he brought us guests. He brought us the opportunity to work in an incredible facility. Sometimes those guests fell through. Sometimes we didn't know who they were until minutes before air. But, you know, I'm a better person for having talked to these guys over the last 16 weeks. And he brought us a block of memories that we'll never be able to repeat. I also want to thank Union Broadcasting, Ted Lischer, Chad Boger, Kevin Keatsman, the entire staff here at 1510 and 810. You know, they had no reason to be hospitable towards us. Honestly, we were just guys off the street, but they were. And welcomed into their facility, made us feel welcome. We look forward to seeing you guys down the road. To our sound engineer and MVP of our operation, Shane Summers. Shane has been the man behind the glass for this entire run, answering phones, attempting to make the phone system do cartwheels. Chiming in with cricket sounds and applause where necessary. This absolutely would have been an audio catastrophe without his help. To our sponsors, Kermsey Construction, Senior Healthcare Specialist, Jay Catering, the Kansas City T-Bones, thank you so much, guys, for your sponsorship through this summer. Brad Westmar provided his voice talents to the show. We hope you got as much out of it as we did. And finally, to the hosts and co-hosts of the Royal Man Report podcast, who have sat here in this little tiny room that comfortably holds two people. You guys crammed in here each week just for a chance to talk about baseball, the past, the present, and the future. We talked about all three with varying levels of success. We talked to folks long forgotten and guys you've never heard of yet, and folks everywhere in the middle. And just to those who've listened to us on 1510 AM on the internet via our podcast, let me tell you that the best is yet to come. Keep tabs on echonetwork.com for updates on our shows. Jeff, Troy, Michael, thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. And I want to thank you. It's been a blast doing this show every week, not just because I got to talk on the radio, which was cool, but that part's actually been quite terrifying and painful to hear at times. But, you know, we got to do some cool stuff. So to close the show, I'll take a page from our guest Don Larson's book and say this experience has been perfect. Thank you, and
Go Royals. And Chris, thank you. You've gotten so much better the last 16 weeks. Without you, we wouldn't have either show. So thank you very much for all you do. And thank you to our listeners. Keep rocking with us. Saturdays at 11, the KC Baseball Vault lives on EchoNetworks.com and Kings of Kauffman. Until next time, go Royals.
KCTE, Independence, Kansas City. This is ESPN 1510.